Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 51 for July 30th, 2006. Coming up in a few minutes, part two of our series on whiskey tasting for beginners.
Whiskey is almost at the stage, or I believe it is at the stage, that wine was about a decade or so ago. Certainly, I know when I was growing up, we had maybe had wine once a year because it was for other people, you know, and there was a language to understand, and there was an etiquette to go, and, you know, you felt a bit awkward and a bit stupid because you didn't know what to ask for. And then along came wines from California and Australia, which said Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon, and suddenly people understood, well, I know what Chardonnay tastes like. So they had confidence, so they said, well, okay, I know what Chardonnay tastes like, well, I know that's another grape, so maybe that Sauvignon Blanc will taste a little bit different. And people began to understand through very simple flavours to differentiate, and that gives them confidence. And since you get confidence, you move further along the ladder and got to go deeper in, go as deep in as you want to. And whiskey's kind of at that stage.
That's Dave Broom, the award-winning writer and taster for Whiskey Magazine and the new editor of the Scotch Whiskey Review. We'll hear more from Dave in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the news. Russia has become one of the hottest export markets for the whiskey business, but Russia also has real problems with its bureaucracy. In fact, having traveled to Russia myself, the bureaucracy there can often be enough to drive one to drink. Unfortunately, the Scotsman reports that there's been almost no whiskey available in Russia since the beginning of July, along with other imported spirits. Now, here's the problem. Starting June 1st, the Russian government decided to require all imported spirits to have barcode labels designed to prevent counterfeiting, as well as make sure the taxes get paid. However, it hasn't made the barcode labels available yet to retailers and importers, and thousands of bottles of whiskey and spirits are stuck in warehouses because of the red tape, or lack of some. The fiscal year ended for many distillers on July 1st, and we're starting to see sales results trickle in. Pernod Ricard reports a 68% increase in sales during the year ending June 30th, largely because of the acquisition of Allied Domecq. However, Pernod Ricard's legacy brands also turned in good numbers. Chivas set a record with sales of just under 4 million cases during the year for an 11% increase. The Glenlivet had strong sales in the U.S. and Asia, with worldwide volume up 10%, and Jameson Irish Whiskey sales were up 12% worldwide. Scottish Field Magazine has released the results of its latest Whiskey Merchants Challenge. The magazine rates whiskies in each issue, and the highest score went to Gordon and MacPhail's bottling of a 1973 Balblair single malt. The other highly recommended ratings went to Beaumont's new 1968 release and the new Duncan Taylor 38-year-old rare blend. You may recall the report on that one back in April. Finally, the Scottish Field Tasters also gave high marks to Douglas Lang's Platinum Range bottling of a 28-year-old Macallan. By the way, Scottish Field will announce its Whiskies of the Year in the December issue. Maker's Mark may be expanding its foray into the restaurant and bar business. A Cincinnati newspaper reports the Bean Global unit will be developing a Maker's Mark-branded bar and restaurant as part of the redevelopment of the city's Fountain Square. There's a similar Maker's Mark pub in Louisville. And updating a story from earlier this year on Whiskey Cast, the Scotch Whiskey Heritage Center in Edinburgh has wrapped up the first phase of a major remodeling project. Managing Director Alistair McIntosh cites the need to make the old Castle Hill School more accessible to visitors.
It was originally a school, a Victorian school, built in 1787, and we had quite a large stone archway at the entrance, which was almost a barrier to our visitors. So we've been able to remove that, and that's been relocated elsewhere just to keep it in perpetuity. And we've replaced that with a cylindrical glass entrance with electric doors and all the rest, which is about 20 feet high. And it's got lighting features, chandeliers inside it. We've substantially smartened up our window displays, our entrance there, And that all costs just over $400,000.
The center's exhibits and tour will get a facelift in phase two of the project, and we'll hear more about that in the next episode of Whiskey Cast. Meanwhile, tickets are still on sale for the French edition of Whiskey Live, coming up September 16th through the 18th at the Palais Brongniart in Paris.
It takes place in a wonderful venue. It's the Stock Exchange, the old Stock Exchange Paris, and now it's no longer used for Stock Exchange, but it's a great, it's a huge place with a big hall, and we'll have a lot of distilleries invited there, and some master classes. So it's going to be very busy. We're expecting last year we had 3,000 visitors, and we're expecting more each year. It's growing up, so it's great.
Who will be teaching the master classes?
So the master classes, there will be Richard Pagerson is going to do a master class on Dalmore, and I'll do something with him where we're going to work together on this one. And Dave Broom will be there also to do to host a collector's masterclass, three collector's masterclasses with Mr. Bagnoni. Mr. Bagnoni is an Italian collector, very famous collector. He's got the best, one of the best collections of whiskies, and he's going to bring some great crackers and very, very rare whiskies. So we're looking forward to this masterclass. Unfortunately, I won't be able to take part in it because I'll be working on another side, but it's going to be great.
Martine Nouet is the editor of the French edition of Whiskey Magazine.
Each year we have a theme, and this year the general theme is the cask. So I think La Maison du Whiskey has achieved something very original, because they have convinced the distilleries to bring empty casks, and also to bring the whiskies coming from this cask, which will be tasted at Whiskey Life. So it's going to be really original bottles, and for collectors it's something very special. And the idea is that there is an educational idea behind that, of course, and the idea is to teach people the importance of maturation, and have them really smell the cask and understand how the oxidation works, what the whiskey takes from the cask.
There's a link to the Whiskey Live France website at whiskeycast.com. And there's a slight change in the plans for next April's Whiskies of the World Expo in San Francisco. Organizer Rhiannon Walsh originally planned to raise ticket prices for the first time in 8 years, but after a handful of complaints, she decided to roll back prices to $115, the same price as the previous 8 years, and is refunding the difference for those who've already bought tickets for the event. Also on the calendar of events, Whiskey Fringe 2006 takes place in Edinburgh on August 12th and 13th. The Brandy Library in New York will hold three spirit schools in August, featuring American whiskeys on August 15th, an introduction to Scotch on the 22nd, and an evening of rare single malts on the 29th. The Park East Grill in New York City plans a Scotch tasting and dinner for August 21st. And Whiskey Live Glasgow is the weekend of September 8th and 9th. Of course, you'll find a complete calendar of events at the Whiskey Cast website. Time now for part two of our series on whiskey tasting for beginners. As I mentioned in the last episode, this is in response to an email from Stephen Ely, who asked for advice on how he and his friends could learn more about nosing and tasting whiskies. This time around, we'll get some answers from Dave Broom, contributing editor of Whiskey Magazine, the editor of the Scotch Whiskey Review, and the winner of this year's Glenfiddich Award for Bar and Drink Writing. Now, Dave tells us Stephen and his friends are facing a familiar problem, one the whiskey industry should have been working on years ago.
People want to know about whiskey, but you know, if you walk into a bar or you walk into a retail outlet and you're faced with 250 whiskies, or even 20 whiskies, where do you start? You know, what is your starting point? You know, you're going to be spending, you know, how many dollars, $40 on a bottle of whiskey? How do I know I'm going to like it? So it's, you know, one way to do it is through the bar, you know, it's through educating bar staff, educating people, getting to taste it, understanding what the flavors are, so that the bartender can then articulate, you know, what do you want? Well, I can recommend this. The other responsibility, I would say, lies on the part of the industry and the magazines to encourage retailers to have shelf talkers to actually say on the bottles or on the shelf, you know, here is a bottle of Ardbeg. Ardbeg tastes of this, and make it really simple and make it understandable. Then I think you will find people going into whiskey and not being so scared of it.
Since the problem hasn't been solved yet, Dave's advice? Jump right in and start tasting.
The only way you'll ever understand that whiskey is through flavor. So I would say even before you start buying books and even buying, subscribing to magazines, understand your own palate. Because if you understand flavor, then you're halfway there. So rather than taking the advice of experts, get yourself a few drams. Get yourself with some friends, or say a group of two or three friends, say four friends. Go into a bar, buy a whiskey that you know already, and then buy one that you don't know. In fact, buy two that you don't know, and then compare them. Can you tell the difference between the three whiskies? If you can tell the difference between the three whiskies and articulate one simple thing that's different, then you know how to taste whiskey. Hopefully that's making sense. Because if you walk in, say there's three of us walking into a bar. I already drink Glenlivet, for example. So I will order a Glenlivet. My friend, I'll say, well, why don't you order one of these whiskies from Islay, perhaps? Because I'm not very sure about these whiskies from Islay. I've heard about these. So you order a Lafroig or a Lagavulin. So they ordered a Lagavulin and said, well, what's our third guy going to have? Well, that one over there, I've never seen that one over there. So, it looks a different colour. So you say, oh, it's Macallan. Okay, well, I've never tried one of these, but, you know, it's a kind of reddish colour. Okay, let's have a look at these three whiskies. Now, the Glenlivet, we all know. So, you know, it's going to taste quite light, etc., etc. And then all of a sudden you taste the Islay one, and boom, it's smoky, it's different. It's immediately smoky. You can really tell what the difference between the two is. Therefore, you're already a whiskey taster. And then you taste the Macallan, and it's got aromas and tastes of Christmas cake and dried fruits, etc. And you can tell that, and you can articulate that. All of a sudden, you are on your road to becoming a whiskey expert. Then you can start buying books. Then you can start exploring a little bit deeper. But start out in really, really simple terms. Just compare and contrast, write things down, compare notes, talk to each other. And that's the way to do it.
In fact, depending on where you live, you can even get Dave's help in learning about whiskey. Not in person, of course, but Dave Broom's Whiskey Tasting Party is available through the Whiskey Magazine website.
Oh, that was almost sitting at exactly the same thing. You know, it was, you got a CD, you got some miniatures of whiskey. I think that there was two malts and two blends, and all the people did were, you know, you pulled out the drams. I told a little bit of production, a little bit, you know, what the difference is, and people kind of tasted along with the CD. You know, can you tell the difference between a smoky whiskey and a whiskey which is not smoky? Can you tell the difference between those and a blended whiskey? And it is immediately obvious. And I do it regularly with people because people genuinely are interested in whiskey and they want to know and they want to learn, but it's just having they're a little bit scared of taking that first step.
Thanks to Dave Broom and Martine Nouet last week for helping answer Stephen's question. And if you have a question about whiskey, email me, and I'll try to find someone to answer it for you. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I enjoy your emails. Finally, if you like WhiskeyCast, I'd like to ask a favor of you. WhiskeyCast is one of the five finalists in the 2006 People's Choice Podcast Awards in the category of Best Food and Drink Podcast. And People's Choice means the listeners decide the winners. Voting continues online through August 11th, and there's a link to the podcast awards site at whiskeycast.com. I'd appreciate your support for this reason. It's not the winning that matters most to me, but it will show others that there is an audience for shows on Whiskey News, and that helps all of us in the end. That's all for this edition of Whiskey Cast. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.